Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
So Father God, I just thank you for being here today. I thank you for your anointing, Father God. I know that as we get into your word, you are going to minister to your daughters, Father God, because I have nothing to say. But Father God, I know that this morning as I yield myself to you, that you will speak exactly what your daughters need to hear. I thank you for the anointing that is in this place even now, Father God, so tangibly. I thank you, Father God, that each need that these women came in with, Father God, I pray that individually they would be ministered to according to what you have for them. And I thank you for allowing us to live in a free country where we can gather together and study your word together. And I thank you for your word that is alive and living and always changing our hearts and lives. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So today I am going to talk about, and the title of my message is When God Decides to Move. And so we're just gonna talk a little bit and gonna have a little bit of interaction as well. So if you hear something that you like, please say yes, amen, whatever, because I like feedback. Otherwise, I will preach up and down the aisles to get you interacting. All right? I know some of you are sitting in the back because you don't want to be bothered, but I might just come back there and bother you. All right? Okay. So God's desire is for us to live in the fullness of his presence. But many times we don't know how to respond. Is that, can some of you relate to that? All right. And God is very open in his word about his willingness to move and be present in our everyday lives. And so I was, you know, I have this weird sort of a thing that I do just between me and God. I'm a very early riser. I mean, I've been known to be, you know, to wake up at 4 a.m. just with my natural body clock. So what I do is I just lay in bed very quietly and I just wait and kind of, you know, in my spirit, just kind of converse with God and just talk to him and just seek his guidance. And one morning I was having this conversation with him as I was laying in bed, and because I feel like there's no distractions. Yeah. You know, once I get out of bed, like my brain is going a million miles an hour. I'm already on to my tasks for the day. So this is my time when I can, you know, kind of catch my brain before it gets onto the to-do lists. And so one morning I was laying in bed and I just felt God like kind of starting to minister to me about all of the I wills in scripture, about when all of the places in scripture where he talks about what he wants to do in our lives and how he is so willing to move in our lives. And me being the inquisitive person that I am, I was like, oh, I need to start looking into that. So I started kind of going through scripture and finding all of the different scriptures that said I will, where God said I will. And I was really amazed to see how many hundreds of scriptures in the Bible God says I will. And it's like, how come people don't realize how willing God is to move in our lives? I mean, we hear about it, but I don't think we really understand the magnitude of it. And many times, even when we do kind of experience that move of God in our lives, we don't know what to do with it. Sometimes to the point of us freaking out and almost like running away from it because we can't handle it. But today I want to talk to you about that and about how we can respond when God is moving in our lives, okay? Because he wants to move in your life every day. He wants to be actively involved in everything that you do, every decision that you make, because he has your best interest at heart. So let's take a look at this. You know, God's very first I will was very significant. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very glad that God wanted to make a helper that I was comparable to man, because that means that God created woman.
Yeah.
Right? That's a very significant verse for womanhood. And I learned years ago from Dr. Vanessa that when God created man, he had a problem He actually was brain damaged. Have you guys ever heard Dr. Vanessa talk about this? Yeah, the testosterone wash and all that. Okay, so God created humanity. God created man. Man ended up brain damaged. And he needed a solution to his problem. So God created woman.
Yeah.
Can I get a shout of hallelujah, amen, ladies? We are the solution to our men's problems. They may not know that, they may not believe that, but we do, it's okay, it can be our little secret. But then another very significant I will in scripture is found a couple of different places, but I'm gonna go to the New Testament because that's what I wanna do. So we're gonna look at Acts in the second chapter. And if you wanna turn with me to Acts the second chapter in verse 16 through 19, this is a restatement of something that was said in the Old Testament in the book of Joel. So we're going to read this. In verse 16 it says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass," I should have brought my reading glasses, darn it. "And it shall come to pass," so if I misspeak a couple of words, please forgive me. I'm kind of winging it because I can't see the scriptures very well. So, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show my wonders in heaven above and signs on earth beneath." Now, did you hear what it said, that he was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh?
Yeah. Yeah.
We are all part of that all flesh. God didn't say, "I'm going to pour out my spirit on man flesh." God didn't say, "I'm going to pour out my spirit only on tall flesh, on skinny flesh, on pretty flesh, on young flesh, on smart flesh." Thank goodness he didn't just say tall flesh, because I would have been in trouble. But God said he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. You kind of see the theme here? God wants to involve all of us in what he's doing here on the earth. Isn't that incredible? Are you guys as excited about this as I am? It's amazing. So God says, "I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." Now notice he says in verse 17, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." In verse 18, he says, "I will pour out my spirit." And in verse 19, he says, "And I will show wonders." That's when he's starting to say his I wills. And there's a few more ways that God says I will that I'm going to share with you. I'm not going to share with you all of the hundreds that he says, but I'll share with you a few, because we'd be here all day if I tried to do that. In Genesis 6:18, he says, "I will establish my covenant with you." Genesis 18, he says, "At the appointed time, I will." Exodus 33, he says, "I will give you rest." Psalm 50, he says, "I will deliver you." Proverbs 1, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known in you." Matthew 8, he says, "I will come and heal him." John 14, he says, "I will do it." He says, "I will go, I will rebuild, I will hear, I will heal, I will return, I will have mercy, I will have compassion, I will bless you, I will multiply you, I will be your father, I will give you the crown of life, I will be your God, I will do it." God wants to move in our lives. Isn't that amazing? And he's willing. He's willing. Sometimes we come to God and we pray to him and we're like, "Oh God, if it's your will, please." He's willing, ladies. He's willing. You don't have to beg him for prayer, or excuse me, for healing. You don't have to beg him to heal you, to bless your family. You don't have to beg him for these things. Listen, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have a good life on this earth. He's willing. We don't have to beg him. Yes. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited. So now we realize that God is willing, but I'd like to kind of move into seeing when God does begin to move in people's lives. And there is a very significant, because we're all women here, I want to look at how God moved in the life of a very significant woman. If you want to turn with me to Mark in the 5th chapter, verse 24 through 34, Mark the 5th chapter. Mark Mark in the 5th chapter. It says, so Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. This is very significant. So remember that we're going to actually do an interactive thing about that in a minute. Verse 25, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around at her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. This is so incredible because there were a lot of people there. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a really big crowd. I've had two instances in my life where this has happened. Years ago, I was traveling with my husband. We travel a lot through his, he's a professional skateboarder. We travel a lot all around the world and stuff. But we were in Spain, and he had just finished a skateboard demo, and there was, I don't know how many thousands of people there. And the skateboarders were starting to hand out different prizes and giveaways and stuff. And we were all standing in the crowd at the time. And when they started handing out all of the prizes, the crowd started getting closer and closer and closer. And so we're like, okay. So we started kind of, you know, scooting up out of the crowd, you know, eventually we're up on the ramp and away from the crowd. But even up out away from the crowd, they were like reaching and grabbing and wanting to get anything that they could from us. And it was a very scary situation. And then a couple of years ago, we were in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and we were with doing a demo again, my husband and Tony Hawk and a couple guys. And there were 50,000 people at this demo that we did in downtown Argentina. And this time, fortunately, there was some security with us. But as we were leaving the demo, they had to rush us through the crowd. We got into the car, and there were people literally laying on top of the cars as we're driving through the crowd. And it was just like, oh my God, either we're gonna die or somebody else is gonna die. This is so, you know, when there's that many people, you don't know where the hands are coming from, where the, you know, because it's just such a tight, confining thing. So because many of you probably haven't ever experienced that before, I'm gonna do something. If I can get the first couple of rows to help me for a second, come on up here with me so everybody can see what we're gonna do. We're gonna have a little crowd. And Pastor Jess, I'm actually gonna have you be Jesus. So you be Jesus, you be right here, and we need the crowd. Okay, girls, I know you're not that shy. Come on. So we need you to be thronging Jesus. Press in, really press in. No, you need to press in. Press in. Thronging means they're like really close, really close. And here comes the woman, and she's like, I need to get to Jesus, but there's a crowd. So I'm going to do it. Even if I have to get down and crawl through the crowd, I'm going to get to Jesus. Do you get it? Thank you. Awesome. Do you get it? She was so persistent. She's like, I'm going to do anything I can to get to Jesus. Now, what was amazing is that it said that she said within herself, if only I touched the hem of his garment. She didn't need to grab a hold of him physically. She didn't need him to make eye contact with her. She's like, if only I touched the hem of his garment. Listen, if somebody's just touching the hem of my skirt, I'm probably not going to... Lesson course is one of my kids pulling, or my granddaughter, you know. But for somebody to just come and just lightly touch the hem of my skirt, I'm not going to notice, especially with people with such a crowd pushing in. Do you get the picture?
Yeah.
Okay. So she said, if only I touched the hem of his garment. So she touched the hem of his garment, and what happens? Immediately her flow stopped. And what does it say? It says, immediately he recognized that something had been released in him, that it stopped him in his tracks. Now that's pretty incredible. Yes. Now let me examine this with you for a minute. Okay, there were people all around. Obviously, they all wanted something from Jesus, right? So they're pushing in, they're trying to get something from him. I'm sure many of them wanted healing or deliverance. But yet only one person in the crowd got something from him. And it wasn't the person that was closest to him. It's not the person who got his attention to the point that said, well, let me lay my hands on you and pray a prayer to heal you. It was a person that was at such a distance that all she could do was get at arm's length and touch the hem of his garment. But I want you to see something. God recognizes persistence. God recognizes when there is somebody that is so desperate, so persistent, so hungry for a touch from God, that even a touch of the hem of his garment would draw that power from him. And each and every one of you have that potential on the inside of you to be that one. So I ask you today, who is the one in this crowd today that is going to get that touch? Who is it? Who is so hungry today that you are that one that is going to draw out what you need from God today? You know what's amazing is maybe 10 of you raise your hands. So when we know that God is willing to move in our lives, and we know that God shows up in services, we have to understand, as we look at this woman as an example, that when we really are wanting something from God, we have to be willing to risk it all to get what we need from God. Risk it all. See, she was willing to risk it all. She, according to the law of those days, shouldn't have even been out in public. She could have, because she had broken that law, she could have been stoned. And I'm not talking about hanging out in the back alley getting high on weed. I'm talking about them. I know some of you were thinking that. Come on. But it means having huge boulders thrown at you. Murder by having large boulders thrown at you and on you. But yet she was willing to risk it all for what she wanted from Jesus. Are you willing to risk it all for what you want from Jesus? And you have to be willing to make a fool of yourself to get what you want from God. So many times we come into a church service, and I know it's not like this at your church, maybe at other churches in the valley, but you know, some people, they come to church and they feel like they have to be so dignified. You know, I have to present myself well, and I know I need something from God, but I'm only going to lift my hands so much because I don't want people to think that I'm raising my hands because I really have a problem. You know, I know that, you know, they invite us to come up to worship the Lord up in front. We do that at our church as well, you know, invite people up to come up and worship the Lord at the altar. But, you know, I don't want people to think I'm desperate. I don't want people to think that, you know, there's something wrong with me. Or we're in the service and we're being so moved by the presence of God, or so moved by a song, and we're like, well, you know, I don't want to lift my hands too high, or I don't want to dance because what is the person next to me going to think? Who cares? Man, when you want something from God, be willing to make a fool of yourself. Get to the altar. Cry, pray, man, have snot running all over the place, your mascara running down. You know, the word of God says that by his stripes we're healed anyway, so let those mascara stripes fall down your face. Right? You can't expect to sit in your seat with your arms folded, checking your texts and your email, seeing what's going on social media, and be that person that draws out that anointing from the presence of God. everybody wanted something from Jesus that day. Everybody comes into church wanting something. Everybody comes into church wanting something. But are you going to be that one? When you come in, every time you come into service, are you going to be that? It doesn't matter if it's the Sabbath service, the Sunday morning, the Wednesday night, the girlfriend, or sorry, women rock, the, you know, the conference is coming up. Listen, every time you come in these doors, you should come in and say, God, I need something from you today. You know, many of us, we can feel that, you know, when the presence of God is moving, and you know, maybe there's a song that just really touches us, and you know, we can just feel the presence of God. But it has to be more than just a feeling. It has to be that, you know, God, I know you're here. Yeah. I can feel you. I can sense you. Even if I can't feel it, I can see it. I can see that others are being drawn into your presence. Step into it, sister. Yeah. Step into it, daughter of God. Step in and get what you need. God is willing. Yes. He's willing. So we see that God's doing something. We feel the presence of God. Maybe even you can't feel it or see it. But the pastor says, listen, the presence of God is so strong in this place. If you need something from God, come to the altar. You know what happens many times when the pastor makes that call? People sit in their seats going, oh, but I don't want anybody to know that that's me. I don't want anybody to know that I have a problem. Listen, if God's giving you an opportunity, run to it. Don't stay in your seat. Don't hesitate. Run to the altar. Run to the presence of God. He is willing. What if the pastor says, there's an anointing in this place, God is speaking to me about a specific issue, and I know there's such and such amount of people in here that God wants to heal. You know, sometimes it can be kind of an embarrassing situation. Maybe it's a female issue, maybe it's a relationship issue, and it's something that's like, well, you don't want the people around you, you don't want your friends to know that you have that problem. But God is using the pastor to say, I'm willing at this moment, come and receive from me. What's my friend gonna think? I just invited her to church for the first time and nobody knows anything about what's going. Run, baby girl. Yeah. Run to the altar. Yeah. Let the pastor jump up in your seat and say, that's me! Receive what God has for you. You know, there's a lot of other interesting scriptures, and I still have about 12 minutes. So I want to share with you some other interesting situations where Jesus ministered specifically to people, and it wasn't always the norm. Because when God moves, he doesn't always move within our box of expectation. When God moves, you know, he doesn't have a watch that says, okay, so at, you know, 12:05, because that's what they said. They said, God, if you don't move by this time, then, you know, I can't receive from you. God's not looking at his watch going, ooh, they only gave me 15 more minutes. You see, scripture says that the appointed time isn't our appointed time, it's God's appointed time. Because God knows what we need more than we know what we need. So let's take a look at some areas where Jesus moved in different ways with different people. In Matthew, in the 8th chapter, verses 2 through 4. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And this is such an interesting passage. All of these are very interesting. These scriptures have probably been some scriptures that have captivated my attention the most over the years, because I tend to not be a normal person. I tend to do things a little out of the ordinary. I tend to do things that maybe even are a little on the edge, and people are like, oh. I did this while my husband was out of town, because I knew that he would really freak out, but all of our ushers and security were freaking out. I was doing this message about stop putting the pastor on a pedestal. And I had this stool on the stage. And so I'm preaching and, you know, I'm just talking and talking. And so I come to the end of the stage and I go, you got to stop putting the pastor up on a pedestal. And then I kicked off my shoes and I stood on top of this stool that was probably about this high. And a couple of our security like went like this and I'm like, don't you move. And they're like, you could see like fear. Some of them were starting to sweat. And I stood up on top of the stool. And I was like, you guys put your pastors in a very dangerous position when you put them on a pedestal. But not only them, but you set yourselves up with an unrealistic expectation of your pastors. That's not fair to them. That's not fair to you. So, of course, everybody told on me. They texted my husband, you don't know what Pastor Donna did during service. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so I tend to do things a little out of the ordinary. So that's why I'm so captivated by these scriptures of Jesus doing things out of the ordinary. So in Matthew, the 8th chapter, you notice how I did that? I gave you guys time to get to the scriptures in your Bible. Like that? Learn that from Pastor Deborah. Matthew, the 8th chapter, it says, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing. Ah, did you hear that? Now, what do you think the response would be? I am willing, right? Yep. So he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, what? Yes, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Okay, now, come on. I don't know about you, but when something really cool happens in my life, I want to tell everybody. Can you imagine this leper? He's like, I'm clean. I don't have sores all over my body anymore. And they're like wanting to like run around and tell. And Jesus is like, make sure you don't tell anybody. Obviously, the leper was a man. Because, you know, men are horrible at communication and they wouldn't tell anybody anyway. Because if it was a woman, especially if it was me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, look, I'm here! Right? How many of you would be like, yeah, let's tell everybody. Yeah. So I was like, come on. That's an amazing thing that just happened in my life and I can't tell anybody? Interesting. Another one in John, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Says, and when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva. Okay, so here, let me just preface this a little bit. So there's this blind man, and his friends bring him to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, this man is blind. Can you heal him? And when they told him, it says, when they told him these things, in the 9th chapter, it says, when Jesus had said these things, it says, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of this man with clay, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, so get the picture. I'm a very visual person, if you haven't noticed. Okay, so this blind man comes to Jesus. He can't see anything. He's being told Jesus is going to heal him. He's standing there and hears. He's probably thinking, did I just hear what I think I heard? And then he feels something like wet and slimy. Oh. I'm like, I would gag. I'd be like. I was like, come on, Jesus, really? Have some compassion on this person. At least if they could see what's happening and have some, you know, advance notice, right? So it's like, okay, now do you think Jesus really had to spit on the ground and, you know, make mud? No. But yet, he did something out of the box. Yeah. Something out of the ordinary to heal this man. And then he says, now go and wash. And why couldn't he have just like, you know, here, I have a cup of water. Go ahead, you know, rinse it off. So Jesus is not always going to do things normal. God is not always going to move in your life in the normal, expected way. You know, and I tend to be very structured in my life. I'm a list maker, and I have lists for my lists. And, you know, the biggest struggle for me in life is working with people because they always mess up my schedule. But God's still working with me on this. But so we come to God many times and we're like, God, I have this situation and I need you to fix it this way. And, you know, there's a deadline. And, you know, if you can just do this, and we like tell him exactly how to do it. And he's like, nah, I think I'm going to do it. And, you know, many times when he answers our prayer, he's going to answer it different, but it ends up being better than when we could have ever imagined. Now, Mark in the 7th chapter, here's another one. It says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment of his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spat. Now, he has a real spitting problem. He spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Okay, so we have this deaf guy. And, you know, he pulls him aside. Now, this is what I love. This is something that really has jumped out at me. Okay, he took him aside from the multitude. So there's a crowd of people here. And these friends bring this deaf guy to Jesus. And Jesus starts thinking, you know, if this guy has never heard, and he's in a crowd of people, he probably might get freaked out. Now, this is just me, you know, reading into it, you know, because I got to build a story around it, you know. Maybe, you know, so let's just pull him away from the crowd a little bit. Pull him away from the multitudes, to give him a little bit of space. And so then again, there's no, Jesus is not normal. There's just no laying on of hands and be healed in the name of Jesus. He's like, sticks his fingers in his ears. And then of course the spitting again. And then he puts his like spit ridden thumb. How many of you parents, like when you were little, they'd be like, you know, it's not a very pleasant smell when he like, and then like puts his finger on the guy's thumb. So he's like, sticks his fingers in his ears, give me your tongue. But the guy's healed. Let's allow God to move outside of the box for us. And then one more, Mark in the 8th chapter. Verse 22 and 23, it says, and he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Verse 23, again, something out of the norm. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, again with the spitting, and he put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. So this one, again, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, God knows how we're built. He knows how we tick. You know, sometimes he'll heal people in the crowd, but there are some times when he's like, we just need some alone time here. So he took this guy out of town. Now, again, you know, I call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't know, which, whatever. But I like to build a story around. So I'm thinking, okay, here's this blind guy. And his friends brought him to Jesus. And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to be healed. And then Jesus says, come on a walk with me. And he doesn't just go a couple steps away from the crowd. He doesn't just go around the corner. It says he led this guy out of town. Now, if I were a blind guy, I'd be thinking, oh my God, this guy's gonna take me out in the desert and kill me. But he leads him out of town. He spits again, because Jesus has a spitting problem. So he spits on his eyes. Now this time he doesn't even make mud. It's kind of like he just went. And then he puts his hands on him and he asks him if he saw anything. This man begins to see and he's healed of his sight. You see, God is so willing to move in our lives. He's willing to heal. He's willing to restore. He's willing to meet your need. Now notice, it says meet your needs. Many times we'll come to God with our list of wants, but God is so incredible because he weeds through and wades through all of our wants and he gets down to our needs. And he's like, I know what you need. And it says that he meets our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wants good things for you. He wants a good life for you. He wants restored relationships. He wants a healed marriage. He wants your kids brought into the kingdom of God. He wants you to be financially stable. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be free of fear. He wants you to be delivered from that depression. God wants good things for you. The Bible says that he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He wants good things for you. But we have to allow him to be out of the box, ladies. Allow God to move outside of the box. And when you see that, when you say, oh, God's moving, don't sit back and say, now I think maybe God might be wanting to do something in my life. You see, that woman with the issue of blood, she didn't even question. She did not even question with and rationalize within herself, well, when I get there, you know, if Jesus seems willing to heal me, then I'll press through the crowd and try and touch the hem of his garment. She never said that. She just said, if I can only touch, if I can, because I know he already will. Yeah. And we need to come with that same belief, with that same understanding. Yeah. And I want you ladies to know, if you get anything else out of this, I want you to know that he is willing. He's willing to answer your prayer. He knows those private prayers that you pray when you're alone. He knows those secret tears that you cry when you're alone. The Bible tells us that he saves our tears in a bottle. I mean, he loves and he values you so much. And he wants to do incredible things in your life. But girlfriend, you need to not question, rationalize, allow fear to come in. Don't be intimidated. Listen, if God is here, if he wants to move, run!
Yeah.
Run towards God and let him do what he's gonna do in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.